Now, this is one of a number of weeks. As you know, there are weeks representing or weeks highlighting all sorts of issues. But this week is one that's in the headlines from time to time. It's LGBT Awareness Week. It runs from the 16th to the 22nd of May. There's a full calendar of events and indeed quite a few talks and issues to be raised. I want to speak to John O'Doherty from the Rainbow Project. John, good morning.
Good morning, Frank.
John, is it still necessary to have an LGBT Awareness Week?
It is indeed, Frank. You know, there's never been a better time to be LGBT in Northern Ireland, but there are still key issues that we need to address. There's still a lot of invisibility around the issues impacting LGBT people. And we also have emerging communities within the LGBT community, issues that need to be discussed, issues that need to be addressed, and educating people as well. If you look at, for example, the number of trans and non-binary people in Northern Ireland today in comparison to 10 years ago, we're seeing a marked increase in those who feel they can be open about their identity, those who can self-identify and understand their own identity and talk to others about it. So this week provides us a key opportunity to go out and talk to everybody from the people on the street to civic society to politicians and others about the key issues impacting on our community.
When you say trans and non-binary, there will be people listening who can't fully envisage what's meant by trans and non-binary. Just explain the terms to us.
Yes, again, another key reason why we have this week. So a trans person would be someone who identifies as a gender that would be different than the gender that was assigned to them as birth. And a non-binary person would really be someone who doesn't fit into the binary notions of gender that we would have within our society, wouldn't really identify as either male or female.
It must be very challenging for a person who doesn't fit in, as you to use your term, doesn't actually fit in, because that's difficult in all walks of life.
Yes, it's a very complex issue, and it's something that people in everyday walks of life aren't necessarily going to come face-to-face with, or at least wouldn't have in the past. So this week provides us a key opportunity to educate people about that, not just from a perspective of this is what it means, but also to allow trans and non-binary people a platform to say, this has been my experience, this is what it's like to grow up as a trans or non-binary person in Northern Ireland, and these are my aspirations, this is what I want to see happen, this is the role I want to play within society. So having a week set aside for that, including the other times that we have during the year, is so key. A time to specifically focus on the issues impacting on LGBT people.
At what age should a human being be able to decide which gender they are?
Well, again, you know, the question of deciding, the question of age, is very open to interpretation. There are some young people at very young ages before primary school who are identifying a level of gender dysphoria. And it's important that those young people and their parents in particular have access to appropriate services. There's wonderful organisations across Northern Ireland, including SEAL and Gender Jam, who are there to support young LGBT people, young trans people in particular, and of course their parents as well, because most parents won't have any direct experience of what it means to have a gender identity different than that is assigned to you at birth. What we're not talking about, and where there's been a lot of outrage around this, is the idea that you're going to have young children transitioning from male to female. That's not reflective of reality. What is happening is supporting those young people to live their lives as they see appropriate, to identify in the gender that they see appropriate, and have access to the appropriate services throughout their lives as well. And what that does is it stops young people from experiencing mental health issues and other experiences of isolation and invisibility later in life. And it's fantastic to see some of our schools across Northern Ireland and many of our services across Northern Ireland educating themselves on trans issues and working to better meet the needs of these individuals.
However, can you not intervene at too early an age? Is that impossible to intervene at too early an age? Because surely if a child is left to develop, he or she may develop in what is seen as a more conventional way for the parents.
And I think that's a really important point. I think it's important to let children self-identify and explore and experience a gender in the way that they wish. And what we see, particularly in the past, was young boys, for example, being told what toys they can't play with, what way they have to dress, how they have to express themselves. And thankfully, in today's world, we're seeing more parents being reflective of the needs of their children, not the expectations of wider society, allowing young people to present their gender or dress process in a way that's appropriate and suitable to them, and allowing them the freedom to explore what it means to have a gender and to express gender. So what we're talking about is not forcing young people down any particular journey. It's about providing them the option, a non-directive service that doesn't tell them, look, you're not really trans, you just need to work out how to be more male or more female. Allowing young people to express their gender and identify their gender in the way that's most suitable to them, and allowing them to be responsible for their own fate, I suppose, for need of a better term, in relation to their gender in future years, having that opportunity to explore that. So I think any idea that a young person would be forced down a particular path is not reflective of reality, and certainly not reflective of what trans and LGBT activists are calling for across Northern Ireland.
If a little boy who's 4 years old wants to wear his six-year-old sister's clothes, and the parent allows him to do that, and actually, because he wants to wear the dresses and the frills, encourages him to do it and takes him out in public doing it, is that not irresponsible?
I don't think so. I think it's irresponsible of society to reflect negatively upon that. Let's be clear what we're talking about. We're talking about clothes. The idea of gendering clothes is something that's strong within our society, but something that's substantially changing, particularly amongst young people and teenagers. This idea that to be female you have to dress a particular way, or male you have to dress a particular way, is actually nonsense. And we always reflect in this about, well, what if a young boy wants to wear a dress? That's a very binary notion of looking at gender and gender expression. When we look at the most feminine, I suppose, of what we would see within dress code in our society, and there will be young people who just want to dress up, who want to try on different clothes, but there will be people, and what we see whenever a young trans person comes forward is a marked change in their behaviour, a consistent view of their gender and their gender expression, not something that just happens on a sunny Saturday afternoon.
But are we getting closer, John, to a situation where there may be little boys who feel uncomfortable in trousers and T-shirts, who want to wear a gym slip, and they're going to be wearing it to a primary school in Northern Ireland?
I think that's something that is happening. I wouldn't necessarily reflect them as young boys. Some of these are young girls. Some of these are people who haven't self-identified their gender. And there are many schools across Northern Ireland, not as many as we would like to see, but those who have introduced approaches and services and ways to address the inequalities experienced by those young people. For example, some of the primary schools that we've seen introduce unisex toilets as an appropriate approach, and we've seen a number of the unions call for this, have seen a marked change in the outcomes and the impact that's had within their school, and indeed have contacted LGBT sector organisations looking at ways in which they can increase the provision of those services, because it addresses a lot of issues that young people experience.
But here in Northern Ireland, do we have examples of P1s? I'm not talking about first or second year at the grammar school or the secondary school. I'm talking about the youngest of our primary school children. Are some of the boys wearing what would traditionally have been seen as girls' clothing?
Again, getting away from the idea of referring to them as boys or girls, yes, there are young people who are going to school wearing uniforms or wearing clothing that wouldn't be reflective, as we see in society, of the gender which they were assigned at birth.
And is there a possibility that the decision has been made too soon in their lives, and as a result they're open to ridicule, whereas when maybe they are 10, 11 years of age, they realise that actually they do want to be male?
Well, I think there may be occasions where somebody's gender identity changes over years as they get to understand that a little bit better and understand their personal gender and how they experience gender. But again, when we're talking about young people, we're talking about providing people the freedom, and if there is, young people are open to criticism, I don't think we should look negatively at the parents or look negatively at the school. We've got to look at society. We've got to look at what our expectations are within society. It's not appropriate for a young woman who was assigned woman at birth to be teased or be treated differently because of the clothes that they choose to wear. Why should that be the case when it comes to trans people?
I was just wondering, at what age do you know? That's maybe the simpler way of asking the question.
That's a very complex and difficult question. There's no sort of set age at which a young person will necessarily know. What we do know is children 5 and younger have experiences of gender dysphoria or issues in relation to their gender. And for some people, it's something that they don't experience until their teenage years and until puberty. And you know, to understand that, we've got to understand all the different aspects that impact on our gender, how we view our gender and how our gender is experienced. You know, everything right through to how we are born, the chromosomes that we have. You know, there are 7.2 billion people in the world. There are no two boxes that absolutely everyone fits into. So this idea of this binary idea of gender, that everyone is either male or female, is not reflective of reality. Human beings are the most complex creatures that we're aware of in the known universe. So there's no two boxes that absolutely every one of 7.2 billion of us are going to fit into. So people's experiences of gender, people's expression of gender is going to be different, and it's going to be impacted on a range of different things, including hormones pre-birth, hormones post-birth, and a range of different experiences and a range of different issues.